Well, it's always a delight to be able to study God's Word, and we don't always get the opportunity in the middle of the day to study God's Word, and it's always a privilege and encouraging to be able to do that very thing. We're going to talk today about overcoming worry. Worry is something we all have to deal with, don't we? There's probably none of us that, if we're really honest with ourselves, don't struggle with worrying from time to time. And we're living in a day that many refer to as an age of anxiety. We seem like that worry is the watchword of our world today. We don't have a job, and so we worry about it, don't we? And then we have a job. And then we worry that we may not have a job. We have no money or not enough money, and we worry that we don't have enough money. And then we have money. And then we worry that maybe we're going to lose our money and things of that nature. We're sick, and then we worry about being sick. And then we're healthy, and we worry that we might be sick one day. And so we have all this kind of worry that goes into our mind and causes us to great difficulty. You know, a lot of people go into depression and have all kinds of difficulty because of worry. Have you ever heard the old saying, well, she has worried herself sick? Worry is something that causes us great difficulty. One worrier said to another, I have so many troubles that if anything happened to me today, it would take me 2 weeks before I could get around to worrying about it. That's just the way some people are, have so many worries. Now, we know that life cannot be lived free from all sense of anxiety and concern. We know that there are some things we have to be concerned about. And there's going to be a difference between concern and worry. Because concern is something that's good for us. For example, if we're concerned about having an automobile accident, that causes us to do what? Practice the rules of safety, right? And drive safely. If we have concern about having a car wreck. And we may be concerned about our health. And so we do the things that we need to do. We practice rules of good health because of that kind of concern. However, the problem is this. It is easy to let our concerns become our cares. And our forethoughts to become our fear thoughts. So it's easy for us to allow these concerns that we have about our situations to become worry, and then worry then begins to rule your life. And have you noticed that those who worry are also can cause other people to worry and can also cause difficulty in your family? When we worry too much. And so that's a concern we also have to be aware of. Now we realize that there are different kinds of fears. For example, there are some people who worry about things that have already happened. That's futile, isn't it? To worry about things that's already happened. Worrying about that which has already happened is kind of like trying to saw sawdust. Doesn't get you anywhere. Worrying about the past is like trying to put toothpaste back into the tube. You know, no matter how much you worry about things that are past, there's nothing that you're really going to be able to do about it. Past deeds cannot be undone. Past words cannot be unsaid. And if the past involves sin, though, there is something we can do about that. We can obey God's plan of pardon, and then God will abundantly forgive us. Look in your Bibles for a moment as we begin our thoughts in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. That's page 843 in my Bible. Notice what Isaiah says. In Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 6, he says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So that's what we need to realize. There may be things we've done in the past that are not right, that are contrary to God's will, but if we will repent and do the things God requires of us, then God will forgive us. And then what do we need to do? Forgive ourselves, don't we? That's the hard thing for us to do sometimes, isn't it? We have a hard time when we've done something in the past. Perhaps we've hurt someone and we've asked forgiveness, but we just let it hang on with us. And we don't forgive ourselves. Perhaps somebody lived a very ungodly life before they became a Christian and done many horrible and bad things. And God's forgiven them, but they have a hard time forgiving themselves. And so we have to not worry about the past. Lloyd George, who was the former Prime Minister of England, once said, "I have made it a practice of my life always to close the gate behind me." And that's what we need to do with the past. And that's going to help us not to worry. We can't do anything about the things that have already happened. And so some people worry about the things that have happened in the past. And then there are some people who worry about things that will inevitably happen. For example, some worry that their children are going to get married. Well, more than likely, what's going to happen? That's going to happen. You know, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says marriage is honorable. And men and women were created for marriage, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. And so we worry about things that are going to happen, and there's no need to worry about that. Now, we might be concerned about who they're going to marry or something like that, but there are some things that are going to happen that all the worrying in the world is not going to stop. You know, you worry, "Oh, I don't want my kids to grow up and leave the house." Guess what? They are. And when they get teenagers, you're going to be glad they did, right? You know, so you worry about these things. And then sometimes they even come home after they've grown up, you know. And then some people worry about dying. But you know what? Everybody's going to die. It is appointed a man wants to die. After this cometh the judgment. We're told in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. We're going to die. But sometimes we worry so much about it that it causes us difficulty. But you know what? If we're a faithful Christian, living our lives like we ought to, really death is what? Something to look forward to. It's kind of like that preacher. He got up one time, he was preaching about the judgment and said, if everybody who wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. And everybody in the audience raised their hand except for one little boy up front. And after services, that preacher goes up to the little boy and says, well, sonny, don't you want to go to heaven? He goes, well, yes, but I thought you were getting a load up to go today. You know, so we want to go, but we worry about going too fast. We worry about, well, I hope I don't die so I can see my kids get married, or so I can see them graduate, or so I can see my grandkids graduate, and all these things. We worry about these things. But we're going to die. And all the worrying in the world is not going to stop that. Some worry about growing old. You know, none of all of us are going to be as old as Alan, but, you know, we're going to get old. Some people just look older. But no matter how much you worry about it, what's going to happen, every day you're what? You're a day older. And many people have had many days. But no matter how much you worry about it, we still grow old. And so some people worry about things that have already happened. There are some people who worry about things that will inevitably happen. And there are some people who worry about things that will never happen. Doesn't that kind of conclude the whole gamut? We worry about things that have already happened, worry about things that are going to happen, and then we worry about things that will never happen. Mark Twain once said, "I have worried over a great many things in life, the most of which never happened." And when you look back, isn't that a lot of truth to that? There's also been statistics that have shown that 80% of the things that we worry about never occur. And so, what are we doing? We're wasting our time. We worry ourselves sick worrying about things that are never going to happen. Well, I want you to turn over with me in your Bible this morning, and we're going to be looking at the Lord's classic text on worry in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be looking today in a brief way at verses 24 through 34. And we're going to begin by reading this section. And as we read this, I want you to notice something here. We're going to talk more about it in just a moment. But I want you to notice where we start. We're going to start in verse 24 because I believe that's part of the context. And see if you've ever put in your mind verse 24 in connection with worry. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Notice the next word, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, as opposed to all of that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now notice here, Jesus said there in verse 24, no man can serve two masters because he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon or God in riches. It's interesting to me, and I think significant, that following that verse, what does it begin to talk about? Worry. So I kind of wonder then, is Jesus saying that worry can become our master? And if you worry too much, we're going to see here in our text, what does that really show about your faith? Little faith. And so worry is something that we need to be concerned about, right? Worry is something we need to worry about. It's something we need to be concerned about. Because he says here, worry can become your master. And I have known people, it seems like they worry about everything and it controls their life. He said there in verse 24, don't serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then he says, therefore. What's this here for? It's because he does not want worry to become what? Our master. Now, y'all feel free to speak up if you want to say something. One of the things we're going to learn here in our text is that worry is really unnecessary. Notice there in verse 32 of our text, it says, "For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." What's that tell us about God and us? He's concerned about us. He's on our side. What else? He provides. And He can provide. He knows our needs because He knows what we need, right? He's concerned about us. And He's going to provide for us. And so, really, all the worrying in the world is unnecessary because we know that we have a God who cares for us. He knows what our needs are. And He's going to provide for us, isn't He? Now, when we think about relying upon God, it's kind of like and we pray to Him and ask Him to help us in our difficulties and say, "I'm just going to put it in Your hands, Lord." Well, we don't want to be like the farmer who prayed that he'd have a great harvest, but he put that sack of seed on the front porch and sat on it all springtime. We have to do our part, don't we? God's going to do His part. We pray, we ask Him to help us, and we have to do our part in the things that we can't do. You know, some things you just can't do, right? Some things beyond your control. And so those are things we ought not to worry about. But there are things that God can help us with. We do our part, we put the rest in God's hands, and God's going to take care of us. But let me show you something else here about worry. Worry is cruel. Look at verse 26. He says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better or of more value than they are?" So, if God's going to take care of the fowls of the air and the animals, and He does, doesn't He? Provides with the natural process where they're provided for. And He says, "Aren't you of more value than they?" Or are human beings more valuable than animals? Yes. And so if God is going to provide and take care of them, what will He do for us? He's going to take care of us. Would that make God a cruel God if He took care of those old sorry animals and didn't take care of us? It's cruel to worry. But notice something else. Worry is prohibited. He says, "Do not worry," or "Do not be anxious." He says that in verse 25, in verse 31, in verse 34. The King James says, "Take no thought." That's the idea of don't worry. Three different times here in this short text it says, "Do not worry." So if God says, "Do not worry," and we worry, what have we done? What is sin? 1 John 3:4 says what? It's transgression of the law. And if God says don't worry, that's His law, right? And so when we worry, what do? You know, sometimes we treat God's law like a cafeteria, right? You know, you go to, I don't know if you have a Furs or Luby's here in Brownwood, but or whatever cafeteria you buy. I say, maybe you go into Underwood's kind of like a cafeteria, isn't it? You go in there and you do what? You pick and you choose the things you want. Sometimes people treat God's Word like that. Is there any part of God's law that we really should ignore or not pay attention to? Do you know the same God that said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," is the same God who says, "Do not worry"? Are we as concerned about obedience to God in regard to His commandments concerning our salvation and our worship and other doctrinal matters, and are not concerned about these other things like worry? We need to be very careful about this, that we don't disallow what God has said because it's something we just don't really want to give up. You do not have to worry because you are in control. If you worry, it's because what? You want to. That's all there is to it. No one is making you worry. We worry because we want to. And God said what? He says, don't do it. But not only that, worry is also futile. Look there in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Matthew 6 and verse 27 says, "Which of you, by taking thought or being anxious or worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature?" You know, I'm worrying because I'm so short, you know. Well, does all the worrying in the world going to make you 6'5"? I'm worried because I'm so tall. Well, is all the worrying in the world going to make you shorter? I'm worrying because all my hair is falling out. Well, is all the worrying in the world going to make hair come back in? You see, sometimes we worry about things that we can do nothing about. Worrying really is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't ever get anywhere. My wife, very religiously, every morning gets on the treadmill and walks and walks and walks and walks, 30 minutes to an hour every single day. She wished I would get on there. But she gets on there and she walks, but she doesn't get anywhere. That's the way worry is, isn't it? You can worry, but it's not going to do anything for you. It's not going to change anything. It's not going to make you taller or shorter. It's not going to change the situation that you're worrying about. Worrying is futile. But notice something else that he says here about worry. He says that worthy is heathenish. In verse 32, he says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." He says there in reality then that worrying is not a characteristic of a child of God. The people of the world, they're the ones who are going to worry, but Christians should what? They should not worry. And then notice this. In verse 30, he's going to show us that worry shows a lack of faith. Last part of verse 30 says, when talking about people worrying about their clothes and their height and being fed and all these things, he says, when you worry about these things, he says, you are of little faith. Can we get to heaven without faith? No. John 8:24 says, if you don't believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Faith. Faith cometh how? By hearing the Word of God. Remember, let's turn over to James for a moment. James chapter 1. Now, I admit that not worrying is sometimes easier said than done, right? But it's still something we have to work on. And if you know that you have trouble with this, what are you going to do then? You're going to work on it, right? Notice here, it talks about the difficulties here in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking in nothing." And so he's telling us here that we're going to have these difficulties in life, but be joyous about it. But how does this occur? How do we do it? Well, he talks about wisdom in handling these things. In verse 5, it says, if you lack wisdom, wisdom for what? What's the context? In how to deal with these trials in life. And isn't it the trials in life that we worry about? If you lack wisdom in dealing with these things, what are we supposed to do? Ask of God, right? Who giveth to how many? All men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. I like that phrase, and upbraideth not. It's kind of the idea where, have you ever asked somebody a question, they say something like, "You mean you don't know that? What a nincompoop you are." Well, one thing we can realize is that God's not going to do that to us. He's not going to make fun of us. He's not going to ridicule us. If we're asking Him for help, what's He going to do? He's going to help us. But then notice verse 6. Here's what I want us to notice for a second about the lacking of faith. But let him ask how? In faith, nothing wavering or not doubting. For he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable, unsteady, fickle in all his ways. He says, sometimes we worry because we lack faith. And we lack faith because we don't really believe that God's going to handle the situation, do we? He says, sometime when we pray to God and we're asking Him to help us and we're asking for wisdom to deal with our difficulties, He says, our faith is like the sea. You've been on the sea and see what? The waves go up. They come in and they go out. They come in and they go out. And our faith can be like that sometimes. I believe in God's going to help me. No, I'm not sure if He's going to help me. I know He's going to help me. No, I'm not sure if He's going to help me. And what do you say if you have that kind of faith? And so then, getting back to our text in Matthew chapter 6, He says if we worry, what does he say about our faith? You have little faith. So, would you say that it is characteristic of a mature Christian to worry? Okay, then ask yourself this. Do you worry? Yes. Well, maybe you need to look about your maturity, right? It's important for us to have faith and trust in God. Turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 1. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus talking to the disciples. He's talking about when He's about to leave, and they're not too excited about all this. And He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." What would be another word that we could put in there? Anxious? Worry? Right? Don't worry. Why? You believe in God? Believe also in me. And so, do you think that if we are really worrying and we're let worrying control our life, that we really believe in God, we really have the faith that we need to have? Are we really the mature Christian that we need to be? So, we need to realize that this worrying that God has very plainly told us that we're not to be involved in and tells us that it shows our lack of faith, I want to show you why worry leads to sin. First of all, it is a disregard, as we've already talked about, for the commands of God. Flip over in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The King James says, "Be careful." The American Standard says, "Be anxious in nothing, and nothing be anxious." I believe the New King James says, "Don't worry," or some translations do. About how much? He says, in essence, do not worry about anything. Do not. What's do not mean? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that, do you? Do not worry about anything. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. And nothing be anxious. But what? Rather in how much? Everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so he's saying here, don't worry about these things. It's wrong to do so. Rather do what? Put it in God's hand. Turn over also in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, the phrase that I want us to think about there and focus on there is to gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean?
Tighten your belt.
Tighten your belt. You know, in ancient times, they would have these kind of long flowing robes. And so they would have a leather girdle, and when they were going to work or run or go into battle, they would take that girdle and put it underneath them and tie it up so there would be no obstruction to bring themselves into control. And sometimes that's the way the word could be translated other times, to be in control. To be in control of what? Where does the worry start? In your mind. So he says what? Take control. Take control of your mind. And so, you know, we're worried about keeping other of God's commands. Should we not bring our mind in control over worry and also do what God says and not what? Not worry. But notice also, worry can lead to sin because it deters from duty and is a futile waste of time. And as we've mentioned earlier, studies have shown that only 8 to 10% of what we worry about are legitimate things to worry about. So most of the things that we worry about are really of no value. And couldn't the energy that you spend in worry be better spent somewhere else? Oh, how I love thy law. What does the rest of it say? Isn't it? So, what should we fill our minds with? Perhaps when we worry too much, we're not spending enough time where? In the book. And meditating upon God's Word. We also note that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, we are to redeem the time. Don't waste your time with worry, because there's other things that you can be doing that's of benefit. Worry benefits no one. Thirdly, worry leads to sin because it impairs our health. He worried himself sick. You know, and I have seen it happen. Haven't you? I have seen people who worry about everything. They're just sick. They maybe go into depression, and worry, excess worry, causes high blood pressure, fatigue, hives, ulcers, mental disorders, insanity, and even sometimes people commit suicide because of worry. I think we need to worry about worrying because of all the trouble it could bring to us, right? Worry can cause us great difficulty. And you know the field of psychiatry is flourishing as never before because of worry and anxiety. If nothing else, we need to quit worrying because of our health. Fourthly, worry leads to sin because it's a robber. It robs one of joy, happiness, and peace. It's interesting, the etymology of the word worry meant to strangle. A continual snapping and biting, to shake and mangle with the teeth. That's the background to the word worry. And so what does worry do? It grasps us by the throat and prevents us from being happy. You cannot be happy while you're worrying. Have you ever seen a happy worrier? I'm so happy. You don't see that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. And I want you to remember, who wrote that? Paul. Where was he when he wrote that? In prison. If anybody had a reason to worry, it was Paul. But he said, do what? Rejoice. Now notice the key. In the Lord. If we're in the Lord, if we have the faith we need, then we can do what? We can rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. And notice something else here. Worry leads to sin because it is a prohibitive against our prayers being answered. You remember what we read a moment ago in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, how that if we ask with not a good faith, if our faith is wavering, if it's like that sea tossed to and fro, what do you say? Don't think your prayers are going to be answered. So worrying is something that we really need to be concerned about, because worrying is really distrusting God. And He says, if you don't trust me, why are you coming to me in prayer anyway? We don't want to be like the man who prayed for protection throughout the night and then stayed up all night and said the Lord would do it. If the Lord says He's going to do it, He's going to what? He's going to do it. We need to have that kind of faith in Him. Okay. We know worrying's a problem, right? All of us struggle with this. All of us struggle with it. And we know we ought not to do it, right? So how are we going to overcome it? Isn't it amazing that the Bible gives us some information about not only tell us what is wrong, but it also tells us how to overcome those difficulties? That's what's amazing about the Bible. Let's look at some principles here that will help us to overcome our struggles with worry. First of all, and foremost, you need to make up your mind that you're going to try to conquer it. What's the first thing? When a man is an alcoholic, what's the first thing he has to do to overcome alcoholism? He's got to admit he's an alcoholic. Isn't that what they do at the AA meetings, I think? They say, my name is John Doe and I'm an alcoholic. That's the first thing they got to do. I have a problem with this and I'm going to resolve in my mind to get over it. And we must not allow our thoughts to push us around. Abraham Lincoln said, I have been as happy as I have made my mind to be. We can overcome worry if we want to. So not only do we have to have the want to overcome worry, we also are going to have the right relationship with God. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 7, remember, he just talked about in verse 6 that we're not to be anxious in nothing, worry about anything. And he says what? That the peace of God, in verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep or shall guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And so one of the ways, where does worry originate? In your mind? And he says that if you have the right relationship with God, what's he going to help you do here? It's going to guard, it's going to keep your hearts and your minds, where? Through Jesus Christ. And so we have to have then that relationship, that good relationship with Him. And the closer we are to God, I believe the fewer worries we're going to have. And so what we might need to do then is if we're beginning to worry and we find ourselves worrying a lot, maybe we need to evaluate our relationship with God. Am I as close to God as I need to be? But thirdly, we need to develop a right attitude of mind. I know that Ryan has felt this way, as I have at times. You get up in a sermon and you preach. Oh, you thought you had a great sermon. You preached it well. Sit in the back and everybody in the whole crowd come out and say, man, that's a great sermon. Boy, one of your best, you know, good sermon. And then one little old lady comes out there and says, man, that thing stunk. And what do we do, Ryan? I know sometimes what I do is I think about that one lady all day long. I wonder why she didn't like my sermon. You know, and what do? We focus on the bad and we forget about what? All the good. You know, we need to look at the silver lining, don't we? What about the song that we sing sometimes? Count your many blessings, name them one on one, and then what? And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And so we don't need to concentrate then on the bad to the neglect of the good. And so if we think more about the good things that's happening to our lives, we'll have less time to do what? And you know what? In reality and honestly, if you'll take your ledger sheet and put all the good things in your life on one column, and all the bad things in life in the other column, you know what's going to happen? The good is going to far outweigh the bad. If what? You're in Christ and you're living faithfully. And so then, we have no reason to worry, do we? But then also, we need to do what we can and then turn the rest over to God. You remember the passage over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28? It is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Because it says, all things, what? Work together for good to what? Those who love the Lord. Now notice what he said. Notice what he did not say. First of all, he did not say that all things were good, did he? What did he say, though? All things work together for good to what? Those who love the Lord. And what did Jesus say in John 14, verse 15? If you love me, so. If we're loving God, keeping His commandments, all things are going to what? Work together for good. So then, what we do then is that we do what we can, and then we what? Leave the rest of it into the hands of God. We've got to trust God that all things will work together for good. You say, well, I don't see how in the world this thing can turn out for good. He didn't say that thing. He said what? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And so we've got to trust God that He's going to do what He says. And then we need to live one day at a time. Yesterday is buried and tomorrow is unborn. And the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to fulfill the duties of today, isn't it? You know, we looked at the passage there, and does anybody have a New King James with them? Alan?
Sir?
You got the American Standard, don't you?
Yes.
Read verse Matthew 7, verse 34. Matthew 6, 34. Excuse me. Just checking you.
Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Okay. Yeah. The King James, I think, the New King James, I think, says it a little clearer. But the idea is here, you have enough worries for today without borrowing from tomorrow. Take care of what? Today, if you take care of today's things, more than likely what's going to happen? The things of tomorrow is not going to be a bother because you've taken care of today. And a lot of times we worry about tomorrow and we're not what? Taking care of today. And then finally, in helping us to overcome sin, the sin of worry, we need to engage in purposeful work. Even in Eden, God saw the need for man to be busy to ensure happiness. You know the people who do the most worrying that I've seen in my life are those who aren't doing anything. They sit there in their living room in their chair, they have nothing to do, and they just sit there and worry. And so if you're worrying, what should you do then?
Get up
and get busy doing something. Do something for somebody else. And that's not going to give you time to worry. He was a wise man who once said that he had no time for worry. For in the daytime he was too busy, and at night he was too sleepy. Didn't have time for worry. So worry is something that we have to encounter, something that we have to overcome. But I think that if we'll put our faith and trust in God, if we'll stay busy, stay in His Word, be His faithful child, then we can overcome this difficulty, can't we? Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank You so much for this day and for the wonderful blessings of life. We thank You for Your Son Jesus and for all the blessings we enjoy through Him. Father, we petition You today in a very special way concerning our troubles with worry. We pray that we'll put our faith and hope and trust in You, that we'll stay busy in Your kingdom, that we'll allow the problems of worry to be gone from our lives. And help us, Father, to always do those things that would prevent worry in our life. Help us to always put all of our cares in Your hands. It's in Your Son's most holy name that we pray. Amen.